Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
This morning, I want to take a little bit of time to see the resurrection from a little bit different perspective than we may have normally looked at. See, over the last couple of probably the last 3 months, we have experienced the lack of joy of gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We had to watch the video, watch the live stream, and we didn't get to really participate. Oh, the joy of singing together and the aspect of enjoying the fellowship of one another on Sundays. We gather together and love spending time catching up. How was your week? Oh, this is what my week was like. And encouraging one another and the joy of being with one another. We've not had that for 3 months. Now that we're back, it's like, oh, it's so good, right? Have you ever thought about what it would be like if the resurrection had never happened? In the same context, we see so much more value of something when we don't have it. The reality of the value it gives us becomes more evident in the moment that we don't have it. What would it be like if there was no resurrection? What would my life as a believer in Jesus look like if Jesus had not risen from the dead? The sobering thought, isn't it? You think about it. Paul actually talks about this in one of his letters to the Corinthian church. See, there were people who, I think believers were included in this, that had lost their hope, that did not believe, no longer believe that we would one day rise again. And so Paul puts it right out there. Do you understand what it would be like if there was no resurrection of the dead? What kind of faith would be ours if there were no resurrection? Before he actually talks about this aspect, he reminds the Corinthian church family of all of the people who had actually witnessed, personally seen Jesus after he had risen from the dead. Go home. When you go home today, look up 1 Corinthians 15 and read the first half of that chapter where Paul distinctly reminds people, hey guys, these are all of the people who saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead. And he says, but what would happen if we ignored all of those witnesses? What would it be like if Jesus did not rise from the dead? What would life really be like if you believed in an unresurrected Christ? We're going to jump in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12 and 13 say this, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13 says this, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Paul says this, listen guys, if what you're saying is true, that there is no resurrection of the dead, let me explain the ramifications that are going to happen if that were true, that there really is no resurrection of the dead. Because if resurrection was impossible, then there's no way Jesus could rise from the dead. And so what happens if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Verse 14 tells us one of the first things that happens. And if Christ be not risen, what? Then is our preaching vain. Our preaching is vain. All the things that we've said about who we are in Christ, all of that becomes meaningless, empty words if Jesus had not risen. If he had not risen, all of the encouraging things about how God has rescued us, how he sustains us now, and how he gives us value and significance, none of it would matter, because all of these things hinge on the fact that Jesus not only died on the cross, but that he rose again and is even now making all of the things that we are in Christ possible. All of it is possible because Jesus rose from the dead. But verse 14, let's keep reading it again. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. But not only that, what's worse, your faith is also vain. If Jesus had not risen, even your faith becomes meaningless and empty. Why? Why is that? Well, faith is only as strong as the one that the faith is in, right? If you put your faith in someone who says he's going to rise again, he says 3 days later, I'm going to rise again, destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to resurrect it. But if he doesn't do that, how much can you trust in the other things he says? If Jesus had not risen, how can you trust that he can redeem you like he said he would? How can you trust that he would make you God's child like he said he would? How can you trust that he would give you the strength to follow him like he said he would if he had not risen from the dead? Verse 15, Paul continues it. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Jesus had not risen, it also means that our special role, this value and significance that Jesus gives us as being witnesses of the very gospel itself, becomes a lie. Because the gospel that we share with others is not just about his sinless life or his sacrifice on the cross. The gospel also is about the very fact that Jesus rose again on the third day. And if Jesus had not risen from the grave, then we do more harm than good, because we give others a false hope. If Christ had not risen from the grave. Paul says this one more time, just to really make sure we get it. Verse 16 and 17 say this: for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17 follows through: and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. It's empty. Why? Because you are yet in your sins. You see, your resurrection is directly connected to Christ's resurrection. Because if Jesus had not risen, you have put your faith in someone who cannot save you. And so you are right where you were before you met Jesus, still in your sins, still without hope, if Jesus had not risen from the grave. Verse 18, it's not just you. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. Not only is there no hope for you, but there's also no hope for everyone who has gone on before you. There will be no reunion. There will be no joy in the reuniting, the seeing one another again. There is no hope in looking forward to seeing them who have gone on before you. They will be gone forever, just like you will be, if Christ had not risen from the dead. Ultimately, it comes down to this last verse, verse 19. Read this carefully. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If the hope that comes from who we are in Christ is only for this life here and now. If this is the only hope that we have, and that hope only applies to this life, all that we have in Jesus, everything that we have is only for this life, then the truth is that we would be a miserable, hopeless people who endure a life of difficulty and suffering. Right? This is life without the resurrection. This is what your life would be if Jesus had not risen from the grave, if he did not rise. But verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ did rise from the dead. He did conquer death. And because he did, all of who we are in Christ is true and undeniable. Our preaching is not in vain. It is powerful because Jesus did rise from the dead. Because Jesus, just like he said he would, just like he said he would rise from the dead, because he did rise from the dead, your faith in Jesus is strong and sure. Praise his name. Woo! Because Jesus said that he would rise, your faith is strong. You can fully and confidently rely on everything he says, because what he says, he will do. Oh, what confidence and assurance that brings us. Because Jesus rose from the dead, our witness is valuable because it is the message of life that we see, that we hear, that we experience, that brings life and hope. And we share that. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we will see those who have gone on before us. Because the hope that they rested in is the very hope that we rest in. Because Jesus rose from the dead, so we also will rise from the dead. Our hope in Jesus is not just for this life. Our hope in Jesus goes far beyond this life. Our hope in Jesus comes for what comes after this life. Verse 21 and 22 tell us this. It says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We see the reality of the effects of Adam, do we not? We see the reality of sin and death in each of our lives because of Adam's sin and rebellion. It's all around us. It's undeniable, the effects of Adam's sin. But in the same way that Adam's sin and its effects are undeniable and clearly visible, also, this is so amazing. In the same day, one day, the effects of Christ's resurrection will be so undeniably visible, so real, so vividly real, we will not be able to deny it. Nor will we want to deny it because of its goodness, right? Praise God for that. We will see the undeniable reality of endless, full life that is ours because of Jesus' resurrection. In Christ, you will be made alive. Why is the resurrection so important for us today? Think about this. We understand the future of tomorrow, and we understand that, but why is the resurrection, that reality, understanding that the resurrection of Jesus is real, why is it important today? Well, because it makes your life today one that is full of hope and expectation because of your resurrection. Jesus' resurrection affects your resurrection today, your resurrection as well. Look at how Peter describes this in 1 Peter 1. Peter describes it this way, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This hope that we by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Go back to the last part. I'm sorry. This living hope is ours directly because of the resurrection of the dead. Verse 4, if we keep continuing to read this, what is this hope in? To an inheritance incorruptible, and we're going to look at this next week, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. It's already reserved in heaven for you. It's already a reality waiting for you to come get it, right? Verse 5, it closes off. You who are kept, protected, sustained by the power of God. How? Through faith unto the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh man, I tell you what, Jesus' resurrection gives you a hope that is active and living in you. It's there to remind you of what's already yours. Jesus' resurrection is what gives you the chance to look beyond what you may be going through right now, to set your eyes on what is already waiting for you in the future. We see the hope of this resurrection, this hope of this future, all throughout the Bible. Oh, this is so interesting. I was doing a study on this, and it was such an amazing thing to see. I looked, and it was true. Paul tells us that everything that is written before them, the Old Testament, is there to give us this hope. Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Why? "That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The Old Testament fills us with hope of what is to come. But not only that, in the New Testament, this hope is not just mentioned once or twice here and there. Did you know that in almost every letter of the New Testament, aside from two that I could see, Philemon and 3 John, which are really short, like fit on a page type letters that are directly answering a certain specific aspect of following Jesus, every letter besides those two has, if at least one, but most of the time, multiple places that talk specifically about this hope in the life that is to come. Literally, the disciples and the apostles constantly and continually talked about this hope of the resurrection, the hope of our future. Why do we see the hope of our resurrection so much? Why was everyone talking about it so much? Maybe it's to remind us that our life now is always meant to be seen in light of our life to come. That our life now is always meant to be seen in light of our life to come. Maybe it's because our life on earth was always meant to be lived in light of the reality of our life in heaven. Maybe that's why they constantly talked about the hope that we have in Christ. And that doesn't always happen though, does it? Man, sometimes we get our distractions so full of, our eyes are so full on this life. Sometimes we completely live with our eyes so completely set on this world that we rarely lift our eyes to see the life that is coming next. Maybe that's why Paul prayed that his dear brothers and sisters would just look up. Just look up. That they would see and that they would know the hope that they have because of the resurrection of Jesus. This was Paul's prayer, and it's my prayer for us too. In Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want you to be able to lift your eyes and understand and see the hope that you have in Jesus. Verse 19 continues, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. When? When he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The power of Christ's resurrection is the power of your resurrection. And the hope that you have is all because of his rising from the grave. But can I ask you a question? Are you looking up? Do you have your eyes set on the hope that is yours because of the resurrection of Jesus? Do you live your life now as one who lives in the reality of your resurrection? It's true. It's real. It's going to happen. This is not the end of your life. The end of your life is the beginning of eternity. That should give us hope, a full, vibrant hope. And it can. It starts with looking at Jesus' resurrection and then seeing all of what your resurrection is going to be because you are in Him. Because you are in Christ, your today can be full of hope. Full of hope. Father, thank you for this gift. Jesus, thank you for rising from the dead to give us assurance, confidence, because we are in you. And the power that rose up Jesus from the grave is the same power that raises us up from the dead. Let's pray. Jesus, I come to you in awe. Your words are sure, trustworthy. Whatever impossible thing you may say will come to true, it is no longer possible, no longer impossible. Because you say it. When others around me may say, oh, there's no life after death, I know that there is because you said it. That my hope and my trust is in you because everything that you say comes true. My confidence in my resurrection is because I have my full hope in you who has resurrected. You have resurrected. Thank you for giving me that assurance. Thank you for all that I am because I am in you. Thank you for giving me such hope, such confidence, such value, such significance. How you sustain me each day of my life and help me never to take my eyes off of my hope that is in you. Let me keep looking up and living my life in light of my life to come. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.